Hi guys, welcome back. I hope you all had a really great Christmas holiday. I wanted to just first of all start off by saying thank you so much for all the support and love you guys gave me for all the content I did last term. Obviously when I had filmed those four episodes, I couldn't really have a chance to say thank you because I filmed them all in one go. I feel like one of those YouTubers that's like, I couldn't do it without you guys, but I genuinely couldn't. So today, for this episode, I am joined by the wonderful Siumi, who is here to talk to us about peer support, mental health, yes, we're diving into that now, and what we've learned over Michaelmas term, and just our future new beginnings.
Hi everyone, I'm Siumi, and I am a second year studying Econ and Politics, and...
You also do UM.
I also do MUN.
And we were also at Rosebery together.
Yeah, so that's how we got to know each other.
Yeah. So for our start question, I know you're a bit scared about what I was going to ask, but I actually have a nice one today. What is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Ooh, it's don't stress about the things you can't control. And
that's so good.
I know that it's easier said than done, but sometimes when you sort of look at whatever overwhelming situation you're in from like an outsider's perspective, you start to realize that half of your stress is just you stressing about things that either haven't happened yet or the 99% chance that things could go wrong. But instead, like, you might as well focus that energy on things you can control and maybe focus on the chance that things could actually go okay for you.
No, that's so funny. I literally have that in like the little, you know, the Pinterest, like cute little squares.
Oh my god.
And then I print them out.
And are they in your bedroom? And oh my god.
And I literally have, today I will not stress about things I cannot control.
You're that gum, yeah. You're that gum.
So I hope you have all been anticipating the start of the confession series. So thank you so much for everyone that sent in something, even though there were some really weird ones. So I thought it would be a really great start to do the confessions with Siumi because she is a peer supporter here at LSE.
LSE peer supporters are basically LSE students. So there's around 25 of us, and we've been selected and trained to basically be...
Selected and trained? That sounds like MI.
Yeah, the military. Let's go. Literally. Conscription. We've been trained to listen to people, to direct people who are struggling to the right resources. I mean, everyone here at LSE knows how stressful it is. Like, we're in the 0.1% of the 0.1% of the most academically...
Challenged.
Not challenged. I'd say, like, most intellectual people our age.
Oh, and wow, okay. That's a lot.
I mean, it's tough. It's tough out here because... I mean, at least for me personally, it's application season, it's summative season, exams in January, my extracurriculars, like everything seems to be falling apart.
Yes, poor Siumi is an econ student, guys. I know that I usually talk to geographers and anthro students, but now we're really, you know...
#BSc.
I'm going to see some struggles, I think, come out.
Also, considering we're in London and we really don't have that campus atmosphere, some people really do struggle, you know, as you mentioned before in your previous episodes, with making friends, just not being lonely and not feeling like they're part of this rat race that they're just so obligated to be part of. And like at this point, it's like I open LinkedIn and someone's like, oh, I'm so happy to receive the news that I am now the CEO of Goldman Sachs. And then you open Instagram and someone's just partying like 24/7. So at that point, you're just like,
but don't believe everything you see in social media.
Exactly.
Like, that should be another best piece of advice.
We're not exactly licensed to give you professional advice, like obviously, but we can direct you towards the resources that can help you out. For example, academic mentors, LSE counselors, disability and wellbeing services. I personally have used LSE counseling services and it really has benefited me because at the end of the day, you really can't go through everything alone. And that's the bottom line. Even though you feel like you can deal with everything, even though you feel like everyone's got everything together, trust me, no one has everything together. If you don't think you've accomplished anything this year, like, trust me, you have. The fact that you're here right now, ending Michaelmas term, starting a new year, starting a new term at LSE is such an accomplishment and you should be so proud of yourself. Honestly, we've heard nothing but really good feedback from people we've supported because at the end of the day, we're here to tell you that you're not alone, and even though you may feel like this, I'm going to once again, I couldn't stress this enough, you really aren't alone and there are people looking out for you, especially the LSE peer supporters.
Thank you for that. Like, that was really great, and that is why like one of the reasons why I wanted to do this confessions, just to show people that you're not alone, because what is the best way to do that if not like look at other people here
exactly
having the exact same thoughts as you?
Exactly.
So that brings us on to our first confession. I don't know if it's just me, but even with loads of friends around me, I feel so alone here. It's my second year at the university, and when it comes to forging meaningful connections or finding a partner, it's like, I don't know. I don't know if it's me or the environment, but what's the best way to find these proper connections? I feel like lots of people make them, so it may just be a me thing.
No, I think it's completely valid to feel that way, especially because I feel like going into second year, you feel like everyone has these established friendship groups and you feel like, you know, they're all part of something, that they all belong. But feeling alone in a group setting is also such a normal, such a prominent feeling that I'm sure every one of us has experienced at some point. The sentence that struck to me the most is, I don't know if it's me or the environment, because the environment plays such a big role in how you feel. I think it's just really, really important to initiate those moments where you actually have an environment where you can sort of have these meaningful connections with people. For example, if you're just going clubbing with your friends, if you're just chatting with them in the library, the chance of you actually bonding over things
unrelated to school,
minimal.
But sometimes people, including myself, can feel quite of like apprehensive or nervous to how that would be received. Like if I was in a class with you and then I see you like in the library and it's like around, I don't know, lunchtime, mm-hmm. I'm hungry, and then I go up and I'm like, oh hi, like do you like want to go to prep together?
Yeah,
like, in my head I'm like, no, that's stupid, like I'm not gonna.
No, like literally that. I asked you to come out for lunch with me because like I was like, oh, I really need to get to know Mia better, but then I woke up late and like everything went downhill from there. I'm gonna bring up an example from like a few months ago where I really wasn't close to this person. We only knew each other through Man. And
no, model UN.
Yeah. And one day I really wasn't feeling a social. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to walk home. And then my friend was like, why don't I walk home with you? And I was like, okay, fair enough. It's random, but it's dark.
Were you going the same way?
Yeah, so we both lived in Rosebery. One of the most deepest conversations I've ever had in my life. And now we're best friends, we're flatmates. And
so sometimes it's so scary moments where you just have to say like, YOLO.
Here's the thing, if you don't ask, the answer you will always know. Be no.
Oh, there we go.
Like, that's
so many words of wisdom in today's
what
episode.
Can I say?
Literally.
Please, like, and also people will appreciate you asking, I wouldn't say deeper connection because that's just like, hi, can I have some deeper connection with you, please? But interestingly enough, once you're comfortable with your relationship with yourself, it's much more easier to find connection with other people because you know
No, but I hate that. Yeah. It's like when people say, oh, you'll only find love when you start loving yourself. Like, you have to love yourself.
It's true. It's true. Okay.
I hate that. I think that's like a cop-out answer to why people are alone. I feel bad when I don't go out drinking and want to stay in my room instead. I don't want people to think I don't like them. I'm just tired.
Oh my god, relate. Hard relate.
Okay, let's go. Let's answer that one. People find it hard to say no, like what
I
feel bad when I don't go out. And it's true, especially in people that, if you aren't really friends yet, they can kind of maybe take that no as like a rejection. And then you might be scared that they might not ask you in future
times. I get that
I guess that's kind of what they're trying to say.
For me, it's been more like, I have two ways I usually address this. When it's with people I actually know, I tell them, look guys, like I'm not feeling it. Like, people who get it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't get it, that's kind of their problem, because at the end of the day you need to put yourself first.
And then you can kind of tell a lot from a person that if you say sorry, like I'm really sick or I'm really tired or I'm really overwhelmed, and if they say well you already told me that we're gonna do this, like don't bail on me, like
if
they guilt you for it, you can sense a lot about a person's character from that.
And then you can probably rethink your dynamic with them.
Yeah.
Or if it's not people you are comfortable with in terms of telling them, oh, look, I'm not feeling too good today, I'd say go for the event, you know, give it a shot. Sometimes it's just in your mind, you know. Sometimes you think to yourself, you're just tired. So you go there and you find out, okay, this isn't that bad. And if you want to just head home early, just go there for a bit. Just chat with people, do your thing, and just, it's okay to come back home early from an event.
Really well answered, thank you. So, I actually put on my story a few weeks ago, last term, about imposter syndrome.
Imposter syndrome, I still haven't met anyone who hasn't had a case of imposter syndrome at least once during their time at LSE. And it's so, so real. I remember during my first week at LSE, people were applying for spring weeks. I actually got slandered by a bunch of my work friends. They were like, because I was complaining about an assignment. And they were like, oh, your assignment's probably just making 5 new connections on LinkedIn. And I was like, you know what? You know what?
You're not wrong.
Valid. Valid. I can't even say anything to that. But
yeah, what is the truth about econ? Tell me.
Cool chamber.
Us humanities babes, like, we really do go in on you, but... Is it as bad as we think?
It's such an echo chamber. Like, people have that tunnel vision of, okay, spring week, summer, grad scheme, investment banker till 27, retire, send all of your tax money to the Cayman Islands. I think I'm going on like a little tangent here. But at least, like, the first bit is true, right?
Fraud? What do you mean?
But the point is, it's so, so normal to feel that pressure. And I remember I had a mental breakdown. Like, I fully just broke down crying in my second week of LSE because I was like, everyone's got their shit together. It's just me. It's only me. And then I called one of my friends from back home. She's like one of my big sisters. And I was like, I don't think I can do this anymore. Then she was like, Sumi, I know you're in London and I know you're in LSE, but you need to realize that, like, it's normal to feel like you're stuck in an echo chamber and you need to take things at your own pace. Honestly, taking time to figure out what you like and really targeting your energy towards what you really want to do will definitely garner you better results than just applying for 150 internships and then accidentally addressing Morgan Stanley in a cover letter to Goldman Sachs and them emailing you back and telling you that you're a rejector because you basically mentioned that. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, you live, you learn, right? Oh my god, the academically rigorous institution I chose to attend is actually, in fact, academically rigorous.
I know.
Shocking, right?
I know.
And I know someone who started his own like political risk consulting thing where he was like, oh, I don't like consulting and like making rich people richer. So I'm just gonna like do consulting but for like social change.
An LSE grad.
LSE grad, yeah.
You know, in the interviews when they ask you, what is your, like, proudest achievement? Or what is a time where you've, like, overcome obstacles? What are you going to say? Oh, I had a deadline due at 12 a.m. and I pulled an all-nighter. Are you, like, you know, something work-based? Or are you going to say, like, oh, you know, I started my own... Okay, I'm not going to talk
podcast!
About
Let's go!
I started my own company, like this grad guy, or...
How are you supposed to answer personality and competency-based questions if you have no personality? Like, no, literally, because I know people who just do their studies at LSE and who have all these offers, like every single Fortune 500 company wants them. But I'd much rather not get stellar grades, but have amazing friends, amazing relationships I can look back on.
Everyone wants that. We can't be so brutal and be like, oh my God, econs, they just want to be rich, like they don't care about their life. Because you obviously do.
Yeah.
So now I want to talk about our kind of goals for the new year, 2023, which sounds really ugly, things that I want to achieve.
Oh, yeah.
So what are your achievements or things that you're looking forward to this year?
So basically, I'm running LSE's own UN conference. So hopefully seeing that come to fruition is definitely going to give you a lot of serotonin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also directing another European conference, which is going to be in London. And then also I'm going to be chairing the world's biggest mountain conference in Paris with Navin, who was in the episode.
Oh, I love my UN, babe.
So honestly, it's been really nice to have something outside academics and career-based goals that can really, you know, because at the end of the day, for me, these societies are all about the people, the experiences. And honestly, what better way to spend the end of Lent term right before exams than to be in Paris with your best friends actually doing something and representing LSE.
And actually getting a taste of what like real life is going to be like.
For sure, for sure. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to actually branching out of my existing friend groups and getting to know more people. This is just a personal thing, but I feel like I've become really comfortable in my friendships. Like, I am so grateful for the people in my life. But there are so many people that I've met with societies, in my classes, that I really want to get to know better. And it's honestly never too late to establish friendships with people. And I have no shame. Like, I will literally text anyone and be like, yo, do you want to go out for coffee? Do you want to go out for lunch? Like, it's embarrassing. Like, literally, like, honestly.
It's the no shame. It's just like, hey, even though I've already asked you 5 times in last week, like, I'm going to ask again because I want to see you.
Honestly, the worst thing they can say is no, and that's okay, because, like, you can always double and triple book yourself, which I always do, and I'm like, oh, shit, like, 3 people said yes to having dinner with me. Who do I prioritize?
No, group date.
That's definitely a goal. A goal is also probably, like, definitely prioritizing my mental health. So I was recently diagnosed with ADHD, which explains a lot of... the less cluttered your brain is and the more content you are from the inside, the more you will be able to perform in every aspect of your life.
And I always say, like, prioritize your mental health above anything.
Genuinely.
Like, how can you even do anything if up here is just scrambled?
Exactly.
And, like, when I come home, like, after campus, I always go, okay, food, get changed, rest. Like, you have to... Like, you're living with yourself your whole life. You have to make it a happy place.
Absolutely.
To be in.
And something I also want to add on to that was, I feel like with a lot of LSE people like us, even when we are not being quote-unquote productive, when we are taking a quote-unquote rest day, we still feel guilty.
Yeah,
we still feel anxious because,
yeah,
like, oh my God, like, I need to get on with my readings. Like, I need to get on with my summatives. And it's a lot of guilt. And even if you're procrastinating, even when you're scrolling through TikTok and pretend and telling yourself you're being unproductive, if you're stressing about it, that doesn't mean you're taking
the full session
of recovery. And you really need to put yourself outside your academics, outside that environment that is giving you stress, to fully, you know, reset. And that's so, so important. And trust me, like, please don't feel guilty for taking the time you need. But what I always tell myself and my friends, if the waiting list is 6 months long, put yourself in that, because in 6 months, you'd rather be in a better place than be at where you are right now. Like,
true,
you're just 6 months away from recovery or getting help.
What's the waiting list like for peer supports? Because you guys said you only have 25.
Oh, we... Honestly, because the sessions are just more like informal chats. Like, it's not like we sit down and I'm just like, so how are you feeling today? It's just really casual. Like, I've gone on mental health walks with people. We're flexible. I would say unlimited supply of peer support.
That's really good, guys. And I recommend it to everyone, just to give it a go, peer support. It sounds like a buddy, like an automatic friend that's just meant
to,
like, listen.
And things that I've spoken about with people I've supported are friendships, feeling isolated at uni, academic stress, careers, and obviously, even though I can't really, like, offer you an internship or be your best friend, I can listen to you and give you helpful advice and direct you to the resources that may help you. And
do you have a lot of first years, second years, like, what's the...
Mostly first years.
Oh
yeah.
Bless them.
I know. But we have quite a few master's students as well, reaching out.
Internationals as well.
Exactly, yeah.
I would imagine.
And trust me, like, there is someone, there is at least one member of the peer support group who will be able to resonate and relate to you, because we have, as I said before, huge representative wide group, diverse group of people.
No, it sounds amazing. So thank you so much for listening to our first episode back from Lent Term. And lastly, thank you for all the support, all the love, all the kind words.
I know that this podcast is going to be such a helpful resource.
So bye from us then, guys.
Bye.
Have a great first week back.